Our second lesson, which serves as our sermon text today, is from Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 13. The Spirit says through St. Paul, "Yes, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So then, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one about whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, who preach the gospel of good things. But not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who believed our message?' So then, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes through the word of Christ." This is the word of our Lord. I invite you to pray with me. Our Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There have been a great deal of distances that human beings have cataloged over the years. You know how tall Mount Everest is? It's 5.5 miles to the top. From the base camp, it's actually a 65-kilometer hike and climb. And round trip, that means 130 kilometers. I'm not great at math, but I think that's something like 70 or 80 miles. That's a pretty great distance. In the cold, in the rugged climate, on the rock. You know how deep human beings can go in the surface? Apparently there's a mine in South Africa called the Mponeng gold mine, where 4,000 miners travel daily. It's 2.5 miles deep. People have gone pretty great distances down. The annual migration of North American caribou, and I'm fascinated by the people who track this and who know this is the longest migrating land animal, is 2,982 miles across North America. That's a great distance. And the 3,716 miles across the Atlantic, someone actually swam that 20 years ago already. Pretty amazing to think about all the distances that human beings have gone. Terrestrial feet have carried us a long ways. But do you know the greatest distance in all the world? The greatest distance in all the world is the 18 inches from your ears to your heart. You know why? It's because only the Holy Spirit can travel that distance. There are millions of people out there who have heard the message about Jesus. The Greek word in our text isn't the normal word for word of Christ. It's an utterance. Just sort of Jesus peppering our language. An utterance of Jesus Christ that hints at the glad tidings that informs people about it. So many millions of people have heard that and yet have not believed. It's fallen on deaf ears. Or people have nodded their heads and said all the right things in response. They've maybe said they acknowledge that Jesus Christ is for them, that Jesus Christ was on the cross for all humanity, that their sins are forgiven, but they really haven't trusted that message. And so it becomes a great distance when you really think about it from here to here, doesn't it? But that's the kind of message that the Holy Spirit needs us to know, because there's a reason why. There's a deep reason why that's such a great distance for human beings to travel. It's because, well, first of all, because of sin. Ever since sin entered the world, our hearts were darkened and our minds were clouded. We didn't even know the difference between right or wrong, let alone how we could find our way out of it. Adam and Eve, in fact, their ears were so clouded that when God came and wanted to talk to them in the garden, he wanted to tug them back in his love and compassion from that first sin, they didn't want to hear it. They hid. They were afraid. And that's another thing that sin does. It causes us to fear. It causes us to worry. And it causes us to close our hearts and harden them to the message of the gospel. St. Paul says in Romans 1, 10 chapters ago, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Or listen to this, what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, after St. Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," this incredible confession, Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." You see, people couldn't come up with the gospel message on their own. Fallen creatures in their sin couldn't devise this whole strategy to rescue ourselves. It's not just that we can't help ourselves, it's that we couldn't even think of a way. But the reality is found in Christ, and the good news frees us. So what about you? Can you say with your heart, "Jesus is my Savior, whom God raised from the dead"? Can you say with Peter, "You are the Christ, Jesus, the Son of the living God"? Can you say he died on the cross so that one day I can rise too, along with him at his Easter resurrection, because all of my sins are paid for? If you can say that, then it's only because of the Holy Spirit. Because only the Holy Spirit can travel that distance from here to here, from our ears to our heart. It's such a great distance, but it's also the same distance that God wanted to cover. God wanted to cover the distance from heaven to earth at Christmas to bridge that gap and become like one of us. And yes, God wanted to cover all the distance around Israel, Judea, and Samaria so that Jesus could proclaim the good news to say, "Repent and believe." Jesus and God wanted to cover that distance to the cross and the distance between his arms and the distance that it took him to come to grips with the fact that his hands would be pierced, so were his feet and his side for us. But God also wanted to cover that distance between your ears and your heart. That's exactly what he wanted. He wanted that his word should be heard. And he wanted the Holy Spirit to open up your ears so that they wouldn't be closed. With this word, the Holy Spirit is present. And with this word, he opens hearts so that they are attentive to it. And so that people thus converted alone through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, whose work alone is the conversion of human hearts, could be freed from sin. That's pretty beautiful. I don't always listen to other preachers, but when I do, I try to decide what's right and what's wrong, especially if I'm not sure if I'm in confessional agreement with that kind of preacher. This morning I was listening to a preacher who was talking about someone he had heard saying, "If I knew that the world was going to end today, I would stand on my Bible. Because heaven and earth may pass away, but the Word of God will never pass away." The idea was that preacher knew the Holy Spirit would be there in the Word. And I don't think we would literally need to stand on the Bible, but it's a pretty good picture, isn't it? A pretty good place for us to put our feet, whether they're the shape of our Valentines or not. But I'll tell you a second great distance, not just from our ears to our heart. There's another great distance for us to travel. And I saw it in this recent study from Barna Group. This is a group that studies things from sort of a church angle. And they recently exposed something a little alarming about my generation, my millennial generation. It seems like everyone's got studies on people who were born about roughly between 1980 and the year 2000. The suggestion from the study is that millennials feel they know how to share their faith. When they're asked, they're ready. And as the study progressed, they scored better than other generational groups, Gen X or boomers, when it came to knowing how or being gifted at sharing their faith with other people. Almost 3/4 of millennial Christians said they were ready to do it. But then there was a follow-up question. What if you were going to share your faith with someone who already has a different religion? And interestingly enough, the numbers plummeted. When it came to maybe being challenged or offending someone else, it turned out that the message wasn't something they really trusted in. They were ready, but they weren't willing. This is a pretty recent study. And I think I'm tempted to do the same thing, because there's another great distance between our hearts and our mouths that only the Spirit can cover. Haven't you been in that situation where you weren't sure how the other person was going to react, and you weren't sure if they were going to like the message of Jesus, and you weren't sure if you were going to say it right? You became worried, you became afraid, and like Adam and Eve in the garden, you went and hid. Or you were just afraid of your own sins because you know you've messed it up before, and how dare you take the name of Jesus Christ on your lips? Or there's probably other forms and excuses, but the fact of the matter is that a lot of us have dropped the ball. But what's really special about that distance between the heart and the mouth is, once again, the same thing overcomes that distance. It's not like we have to find more courage. We can't seek more good things in our heart. Maybe if we think about it this way, maybe if we think about it this way, maybe if we just gather ourselves a little bit, what really conquers that distance, once again, is the Holy Spirit. I mean, you heard it in our message today. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. We get so intimidated by everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved that we forget to find that there's fuel in that following verse. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. The very same message that we have to give to one another is that message that gives us the Holy Spirit to say it. I mean, think about that. The Holy Spirit is constantly filling the Word. You don't have to say it just right. You don't have to say it at just the right time. You may not find the right time if that's the way you think. And it's not just a prayer when God says everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. In the Old Testament, in Exodus, when the Lord, Yahweh, sometimes he's called Jehovah, is the same name, the God of free and faithful love, when he's proclaiming himself to Moses, the word for it is to call on. I know when we hear that word call on, we think of prayer. But God calls on his own name. Maybe it's better than thinking God is praying to himself. When we see the word call on, it's probably better to think of a confession. Okay, we use that word in a few different ways, like confessing our sins. I'm talking about the creeds that we confess, our faith that we profess, our affirmation of faith when we say it out loud. In fact, every time if you go into the Old Testament and you see that Noah or Moses or some of these patriarchs call on the name of the Lord, it's probably more like a sermon or a confession of faith, calling the name of the Lord out in the original language. And the only thing that incited them to do that was the grace of God that they saw in their lives, were the promises of God that he trained out over time, looking ahead to the Messiah who is going to come in Christ. And guess what? Nothing has changed as far as human hearts are concerned. If you want to put a message on your lips, if you want to have courage for that moment when you weren't so courageous before, guess what fuels you? Guess what fills you? Guess where the Holy Spirit comes? It's from an utterance of Christ. The message is heard through the word of Christ, and faith comes from hearing that message. So brothers and sisters, go back to the word. If you want to be more mission-minded, if you want to share the message in an impactful way, go back to the word. Have a daily devotion. Not just family, but a personal devotion. Find more chances to open God's word. Stand on scripture. Come to church. Come to Bible study. See those opportunities, not just as fulfilling the third commandment, not just because pastor wants me to come to worship or come to Bible study or because then I'll hear it from my wife if I don't or because the kids need to be there for Sunday school, but because the message of Christ is going to fill our mouths. And I can't think of a better thing for us to share with the whole rest of the world. I can't think of a better thing to put on our mouths and carry with our feet. Amen.